From the KTO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Juneau School District has been randomly drug testing student athletes for 9 years. But apart from anecdotal reports, there's little hard evidence to show that it's been effective for keeping kids off of drugs and alcohol. KTO's Kavitha George has more.
The Juneau School District started drug testing most of its student athletes in 2009. But among administrators, students, parents, and coaches, there doesn't seem to be a consensus about its purpose or its effectiveness. Here's how it works. A kid will get randomly pulled out of class to take a urine test, and then a technician analyzes it immediately. They're looking for a range of substances, including cocaine, marijuana, opiates, OxyContin, tobacco, and alcohol. If the test is positive, parents are notified and the student is asked to produce another sample, which is sent out to a lab for confirmation. Once a week, the testing service sends the school a report of positive results. Kids with confirmed positives are suspended from sports from 10 days to a full year. Jake Jacoby, Thunder Mountain High School's activities director, describes the number of positive tests he's seen over the last 4 years as steady and low.
You know, not very many. I would say at least half of the maybe 8 to 10 positive tests we've had in the last 4 years have been tobacco related.
So the district is handling these cases one by one as they come up, but it doesn't seem to be tracking the program's effectiveness. That is, has mandatory testing actually reduced the number of kids caught using drugs and alcohol over the years? Jacoby says he'd have to go back through years of hard copy weekly reports to try to compile that kind of data.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Higher-ups have the same answer. Superintendent Bridget Weiss said in an email, quote, anecdotally, we have few positives, end quote, but that the district does not keep yearly records of the number of positive tests. The consensus there is that the district doesn't have the time or capacity to keep track of year-over-year testing results. But the district has worked hard to protect the policy, spending anywhere from $46,000 to $11,000 a year on drug tests. In the face of budget cuts 5 years ago, they opted to continue testing, even if it meant cutting back elsewhere. So how do they know it's working? Weiss says that the program is meant to give kids a reason to say no rather than to catch them in the act. That's something Rhonda Hickok, assistant principal at Thunder Mountain High School, echoes.
So it kind of gave kids an out if they didn't have the courage before, because we know peer pressure is pretty, you know, high and could be, you know, a challenge for some kids to not be able to say no. Well, now they had an out that they could say no. I participate in this program and I could be drug tested, so I can't do this.
On top of that, Hickok says that the district has taken strides to train teachers to identify risk behaviors in students. The school also holds educational sessions with athletes and their parents about the consequences of drug and alcohol abuse. Another common refrain from administrators is that the drug policy has opened the door to a larger community conversation around youth substance abuse. Here's District Chief of Staff Kristen Bartlett.
It really elevated the conversation and people opened up about what the problem and people shared more information about how to get help and how to prevent it in the first place. So that, I think, contributed a lot to the reduction.
And even without hard numbers, Activities Director Jacoby says he's confident reports of athlete drug use are just less prevalent.
That sort of conversation I don't hear anymore. And so I think that it's a pretty serious deterrent to know that, you know, that you're in a pool of people that could be tested on a weekly basis.
But talking to kids and parents, you'll hear a different story. At a Thunder Mountain wrestling practice, some players doubted the effectiveness of testing, and others weren't even aware it was happening.
Yeah, usually they drug test, but I haven't heard of anybody. Has anybody on the wrestling team got drug tested yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
Over the phone, Jacoby confirmed that wrestlers are being tested, but because of the small size of the team, it's at most one or two kids per week, and only during wrestling season. But while most kids said that they wouldn't change the current system, they also said that testing doesn't prevent kids who want to use drugs from using them. Here's Camden Erickson, a sophomore at Thunder Mountain.
It just depends on the kid, you know. Yeah. I think if a kid really wants to do drugs, it's not going to matter if he's in the season.
Sunny Tibetan, a senior on the Juneau Douglas High School swim team, agrees. adding that even the educational part of the district's drug policy isn't particularly effective.
A lot of students, it just goes over their heads. They don't pay much mind to it because many of the students who have done it, they know how to work their way out of getting caught.
Mary Ellefson is a parent of a Juno Douglas student and coaches the school's cross-country team. She says that while she's unclear on how effective the policy has been, taking kids off of teams is counterproductive to keeping them off of substances.
I'm feeling like if I have kids on my team caught smoking, I'd rather have them smoking and running than not coming to practice. I'd rather have them with this group of young people that are active and making good choices and traveling with me than spending more time on their own and perhaps unsupervised.
At the same time, parents like Ellefson say it's unreasonable to expect the district to be responsible for solving the issue of substance abuse alone.
It is unreasonable, and at the same point, it's where we're at. We're all participating, and how do we do this? And $11,000 might be an important little wedge in trying to keep our community healthy as we work to develop support systems and also to connect our kids and keep them accountable.
National studies of high school drug testing programs haven't shown a strong correlation, if any, between testing and lowered substance abuse. Drug testing is just one part of Juno School District's strategy to address the issue. But seemingly satisfied with anecdotal evidence, it appears unlikely that administrators will be changing the program anytime soon. In Juno, I'm Kavitha George.
This month, leadership of the Catholic Order of Jesuits updated a list of priests and other clergy who have at least one credible accusation of sexual abuse of a minor. But a review shows there are at least a dozen names missing and other information is inaccurate. Northwest News Network's Emily Schwing has more.
Some of those missing names can be found on lists previously released by other dioceses, including Spokane, Portland, Seattle, and Fairbanks, Alaska. In a handful of cases, alleged victims of sexual abuse filed civil lawsuits against the men whose names are missing. Jesuits West is the organization that represents Jesuits in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and seven other Western states. The organization declined to comment on the missing names. In an email, a spokesperson said there may be additional offenders identified following an external review. That review is expected next spring, but there's no definitive timeline. The current list includes 111 names. More than 60 of those Jesuits served in the Northwest and Alaska during their careers. In at least one case, the death date of one known abuser is also inaccurate. I'm Emily Schwing reporting.
Anchorage's Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson played host to a rare medal ceremony on Saturday. Staff Sergeant Justin Gallegos posthumously received the Distinguished Service Cross, the Army's second highest military award recognizing valor. Recognition comes from Gallegos' role in what's known as the Battle of Kamdesh in Afghanistan. A small group of Army soldiers held off an ambush by around 300 Taliban fighters in October 2009. Gallegos was one of eight American service members killed in the battle. 27 others were wounded. Lieutenant Colonel Matt Meyer told the audience of about 600 troops, survivors, and family members that Gallegos earned the Service Cross for repeatedly risking his life to protect and rescue comrades.
He fired upon the enemy outside of LRAS 2 with a machine gun until it was shot out of his hands. Justin's reinforcement of the position held it just long enough to allow the remainder of the platoon to regroup. He bought them the time they needed at the cost of his own life.
Bestowing the Service Cross to Gallegos has been a years-long ordeal. Though the Battle of Kamdesh resulted in numerous rewards for the soldiers that fought, including two Medals of Honor, it has taken years for Gallegos' acts to be officially recognized through an upgrade from a Silver Star to the Service Cross. In fact, Senator Lisa Murkowski said the process was so protracted, it took on a life of its own in Congress.
Medal upgrades are certainly not unheard of, but in fairness, they are rare. They are very rare. And it said that they almost require an act of Congress. Well, in this case, it did require an act of Congress.
An amendment was added to the National Defense Authorization Act, a change that had been taken up as a cause by the late Senator John McCain.